Welcome to another exciting edition of Unite, i.e. Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen. And the private citizens won great victories all across the country. We will see whether they can be overturned in another coup attempt by Democrat Party vote fraud operatives. And what struck me is just how absolutely in your face, not hiding it, not concealing it, in your face, we're stuffing the ballot box and there's not a thing you can do about it. We'll see about the latter.
I think the country is suffering with an extreme case of IBS this week, irritable ballot syndrome.
So anyway, to help us unpack that.
What? I thought that was pretty good. As a guy that suffers from irritable bowel disease, I thought irritable ballot syndrome was a good description of that. Let's get Ed Ring, our guest's opinion on that.
Yeah, Ed Ring is co-founder of the California Policy Center and a great writer and speaker. We've had him on the show before, and he had linked to me an article that prompted the last minute invitation to him today on this subject. Ed, how do you see what's happening before our eyes?
Well, I think it's something that we saw coming, and the article that I referenced, I didn't write, Michael Ampton did, and people should recognize his name. Michael Ampton, actually writing anonymously at the time, wrote the article called The Flight 93 Election, which was arguably one of the most influential essays written during the 2016 campaign, where he basically compared the country to Flight 93, where if you do nothing, the plane's going to crash, and if you try to, you know, take the cockpit over again and regain control of the cockpit, you might have a chance. And the reasoning that he brought forward in that article made quite an impression on me, and I think millions of other people, where he described what's happening in America with the left and the choices that we face, which he basically boiled down to globalism versus nationalism. What he wrote recently, you know, when I ever I see anything by Michael Ampton, I pay attention. And because of that first story where I learned about, you know, his wisdom, it's called Game On for the Coup. And I think it's the best summary I've found talking about what's going on right now. And he, you know, goes through all kinds of facts, state by state, talking about how it's inexplicable that some of the things they're coming up with in these counts could possibly be genuine. You know, he looks at things like the performance in Ohio, Iowa, South Carolina, Texas, and then says, why is it when he's crushing his 2016 performance in these states, Florida as well, neighboring states, which happen to be controlled by Democrat governors, are having cliffhangers. It doesn't make any sense for Trump to be doing so well in Ohio and so marginally well in other Midwestern states, so well in Florida and so close in Georgia. So that's the first thing that you notice in that article. Then he talks about how the counting just suddenly stopped in the wee hours of the night, and then all of a sudden ballots are found and early totals, which had Trump ahead, are changing, and they're changing by as much as 100%. And there's several examples of this. He brings up one, which was exposed by Nate Silver, who is not a Trump fan, and that journalist observed a tranche quote of 23,277 votes that turned up in Philadelphia, all for Biden. And again, this is one example of many where things are happening are statistically impossible. They're just absolutely impossible. Then there's turnouts, and we've seen this before, but it's happening everywhere right now. You're seeing turnouts where they're breaking all records, 85% for Joe Biden in Milwaukee, when even Obama only got 71%. 2016, Hillary versus Trump, it was only 61%. Seven Milwaukee precincts returned more votes than they have registered voters. Turnout in Wisconsin overall, 90%. This kind of stuff is really It's almost impossible. Then he tells the story of 1960, where in Cook County, they were able to find votes to put Kennedy just over the top. And he says, that's what's happening here. And here, you know, let's step back from Michael Anton and just think about this for a moment. How much has really changed? I mean, how has human nature changed? Has corruption gone away? Has something happened that makes it so transparent nowadays that there's no way that things like this could happen? And does this have to be coordinated from the top? Antifa's not coordinated from the top, for example. Antifa is a decentralized organization that's still able to, you know, do a very impressive job of coordinating their effort. You could almost argue that with the power of the internet and the way people are able to communicate in so many different ways now, it's easier to just have an understanding. You don't have to have a conspiracy. And imagine the position that people that might find out about corruption, which is decentralized, so you can always find one and say it's not representative of what's happening everywhere. Think about someone who notices corruption, the position that they're in. There are Antifa cells in every city in America, and those people are ready to retaliate. There's all kinds of reasons why somebody might be very intimidated from exposing this.
Well, if you're an employee in the registrar's office or the post office, your job.
And you could lose your job, of course. You know, there's examples where the post, and we've seen, you know, it could be a deep fake. We don't know what's true nowadays, but there's photographic evidence and eyewitness testimony that the postmasters in some of these states are backdating the stamps on the envelopes. They're saying, leave them blank so that we can hand stamp them November 3rd. And then, of course, this is unbelievable. It's true, but it's unbelievable. In Pennsylvania, as you know, they're saying the signatures don't have to match. There doesn't have to be a postmark. And anything that they can find within 3 days of November 3rd counts. I mean, what on earth more do you need to swing an election by stacking ballots?
Was it James O'Keefe that had the postal worker in a disguised voice saying that they were ordered to find every ballot on November 4th and backdate them to November 3rd? That was a order by the supervisor. But I think even stepping back and looking at the history since Donald Trump won the primary and to be the Republican candidate in the 2016 election is when Hillary Clinton launched the famous Russian dossier with the help of Fusion GPS. Back in that day was the beginning of the long-term assault on what became the presidency of Donald Trump. So you had that in the campaign, during the campaign. Then it converted over to the Mueller investigation. Then it turned into the impeachment effort. Then it turned into, of course, COVID-19, the lockdown, and the extraordinary finger-pointing at Donald Trump. We would be foolish to think that in the election that we could expect no less from the left's machine in processing ballots. Coincidentally, all of the states we're talking about have administrations on the ground that are run by Democrats. We would be stupid to think that they would step back and go, let's have a free and fair election because that's what we need to do. This is the ultimate opportunity that they have under the cover of darkness to effectively remove Donald Trump from the picture. We would be foolish to think that there would be anything less than rampant fraud at whatever level that they can get it done at in order to completely upset the vote of the people.
Well, I think you're right. You know, I think it would have been a close election. And we can't say with any absolute certainty that Trump would have won. But what we know is that he can't win if this is permitted to, because, and they've been on record and said it over and over again, that they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure he doesn't get reelected. So as you say, why not take them at their word? The thing that's, you know, there's a lot that's really frightening about this. The corruption, obviously, is something that we should be bothered by. But look at how much support they're getting. Look at what's happening with big tech censorship. Michael Anton's story was being removed from the internet by Twitter for about 12 hours. And then I guess they looked up Claremont Institute and realized that they better not censor this one. So now it stands. But, of course, the tweets don't have any reach, even though the link doesn't get blocked anymore. And that's just one example. We know how much is happening from big tech. We also know that it appears there's so much evidence that strong, powerful elements of the federal intelligence community are trying to get Trump out of office. We know that most of the big donors, most of the big corporate donors, most of the big individual donors are backing Democrats. We know that Wall Street's given most of their money to the Biden campaign. Obviously, big tech is giving, you know, their billions and billions. That's all going to Democrats. Why is this? Democrats are supposed to, you know, in the good old days, stand up for the downtrodden worker. You know, they were supposed to stand up for free speech. You know, there was, what, Free Speech Park in Berkeley back in the 1960s. There's something happened. You know, Donald Trump became the president of the forgotten working Americans. And somehow that fact, which everybody knows is why he got elected, has been transmuted into some, you know, white racial racism and resentment. And no, you know, it's still the Democrats that are the party of the working man. Well, why is that? The Democrats are the party of exporting jobs, importing welfare cases, and taking money from Wall Street and high-tech billionaires. Now, how on earth can they still get away with this? And, of course, the only way they get away with it is by accusing Republicans of being racist and sexist.
You know, Joe Biden claims to be the man from Scranton. Well, and he does that from the basement of his one of his multimillion dollar mansions. But let's hear from Joe Biden on the subject of vote fraud.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
So did Joe Biden let it slip, the truth? Is he slipping, or both?
well, we know that President candidate Biden is slipping. There's no question that he's slipping. You know, and that's something that's really pathetic, because it you know, there's nothing better that the Democrats could have come up with. There's no candidate that they could have found to represent their party than Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a shell of a man. And throughout Joe Biden's career, he's been known as kind of the guy that you got to watch what, you know, don't be careful how much you let him say, because he's always going to spit out something embarrassing. And you know, Joe Biden is the guy that, as you say, gotten rich by being a politician. Donald Trump, for all that you can say about his personality and about his background, he got rich in the private sector. He didn't get rich by making deals and then bringing his friends in behind. I mean, you mentioned a whole list of scandals. What about the laptop from hell? What about that scandal that was entirely repressed? That's such powerful evidence of the life of Joe Biden, the kind of politician and the kind of man that Joe Biden is. This is somebody who got rich working the political system, not getting rich in the competitive free market.
Absolutely. Joe, 10% for the big guy, Biden. And in my view, I know you have an article and you're limited time, we want to get to your article, Ed, is this attempt to steal the election cannot stand. Our side cannot let this stand. And if we do, they're going to repeat it. the republic will fall apart when people believe the election system is corrupt. We need, coming out of this, we need to develop and implement a trust but verify election system that both ensures and assures the election will be honest. We need to take a quick break here, and I'm here from our sponsor, Ed Hoffman of Summit Funding, back after this.
Hi, this is Ed Hoffman with Summit Funding and host of The Main Event, Heard Weekends right here on AM 590 The Answer. By now, I'm sure you've all been hearing about the fact that mortgage rates have dropped a whole percentage point in the last 12 months. So what does that mean to you? Well, if you own a home, it means we can possibly, one, reduce your payment, two, pull out cash and pay off other bills and then further reduce your payment, or three, we can possibly reduce the term of your loan and get your home paid off years earlier than you planned. If you're over 62 considering a reverse mortgage, the lower the interest rates are, the more money you get on a reverse mortgage. And if you haven't even inquired about a reverse, you owe it to yourself to investigate this tremendous financing option. So if you're thinking about any of these, the time to act is now. For more information, call me at 855-640-2020. That's 855-640-2020. One last time, 855-640-2020. Or go to edhoffman.net and click on the Summit Funding logo.
Ed Hoffman, NMLS ID number 9921. California DRE ID number 1012658. Arizona MLO license number 0926439. Branch NMLS ID number 1841782. Summit Funding Incorporated NMLS ID number 3199. Arizona license number 0925837. Equal housing opportunity.
AM 590. The Answer.
Welcome back to the Unite Inland Empire Radio Show, the show for the most important political office in the country. This week, the voter, but in most weeks, the citizen of America. We have right now with us Ed Ring. He was a founding member of the California Policy Institute. He is with us now. We've been talking about an article that he feels very highly about, Game On for the Coup by Michael Anton. His article, written November 5th, California's one-party state, the Blue Wave Machine, also has a number of critical observations in it about this particular election. Tell us what, in essence, your article is referencing regarding this election.
Well, it's making the point that while we've got all of these corrupt urban machines throughout the rest of the country and probably down in L.A. and elsewhere as well, but the point wasn't about that so much as there's an alliance that's been formed between this great bastion of progressive power, which is California, and the corrupt urban machines in the rest of the country. And what California brings to that alliance is the most, by far, the most overwhelming financial advantage in politics that I think we've ever seen because of two factors. First of all, the public sector unions in California collect and spend nearly $1 billion every single year in membership dues, which of course are funded by taxpayers. And they are overwhelmingly, 90 to 99%, depending on which union, favoring Democrats. And they don't use all of that money for politics. They only use, you know, one third or one half of it when you take into account all of the public education that doesn't explicitly get classified as political spending. That's, you know, so that's at least $500 million every election cycle that they're deploying in politics. That's just an absolute pile of money. But added to that is this new and unbelievable financial wealth from the high-tech community, and that's multiple billions of dollars, and of course the influence that the big tech social media and search monopolies have on political discourse. So you take that in California and you match that with these machines in the rest of the country, and you have something that's very hard to stop. And here in California, it is a one-party state already. They don't have to spend all of that money in California, but they spend whatever it takes. And what we're seeing, you know, people are encouraged by the possibility, and it's only a possibility, that Republicans are going to recover two congressional seats. That means they're going to go from 7 out of 53, best case, to 9 out of 53. So that, you know, you have this amazingly powerful Democratic congressional caucus in Washington, D.C. And then in the state legislature, what we're seeing in the Senate is maybe we're going to have 9 out of 40 senators that are going to be Republican. And if we're lucky, we'll have 20. We're probably going to have 19 out of 80 assembly members who are Republican. That's a three quarters. They call that a mega majority. It's three quarters of both houses are controlled by Democrats. You know, and then you look at the, this wasn't in the article, but just look at what's happening in Los Angeles. Three Democrats, and I don't have their names at my fingertips except for that guy Gausson, who's running for district attorney in Los Angeles County, looks like he's going to win. They also have a candidate that's going to be on the Board of Supervisors and a candidate that's going to be elected to the city council. All three of these candidates are Bernie Sanders endorsed, you know, ultra progressives. And, you know, with the time we've got left, I just want to try to make one more point, which mirrors what we talked about earlier in the country. And that's this. The Progressive Party is an absolute fraud if they're trying to represent themselves as representing poor people and working people, because the money that's going into that party is coming from the wealthiest people in the world. And the things that they're doing in terms of policy, and the homeless crisis is the perfect example and a big one, is benefiting their bureaucracies, and even more, it's benefiting corrupt developers who want everything to cost too much, who don't ever want to solve these problems, who are building homeless housing that on average is costing more than $500,000 a unit. And they're using homeless people that are getting funneled into certain communities to destroy those communities so that they can go in and redevelop them and put in high-density, subsidized housing. This state is run by politicians that have made it, thanks to progressive ideology, impossible for anybody to profitably build affordable housing without subsidies. And they've ruined the housing market by doing this. And then they're using that to get even more power and to get even more wealth. That's what's really going on in California. Progressive ideology is a fraud.
One of the things that I've known over the years, it's getting worse and worse, is that Democrat Party policies hurt their most loyal voters the most. California has the highest cost of living poverty in the country, yet the Republican Party, and maybe it's in part due to the nature of the California Republican Party, has been unable to in any way break through that and say, you guys are getting screwed by the Democrats that you're voting for.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, that's the one place where maybe there's some hope. The facts are on our side, and the people, if we can get through to them, are on our side. And the policies that would save California have to violate all of these pieties. You know, the most specifically, I guess, the climate change. It's simply, even if you believe in climate change, it's simply not true that by expanding our cities so that we can have more entitled land that is permitted to have single-family housing developments, that's what will take pressure off the housing market. They claim that's going to cause climate change. They're wrong. Even if you believe in all of the theories about climate change, there are not any strong arguments. There's not a lot of challenges to the arguments they're making, which is the problem. They pay somebody to do a study that says if you build a suburb on the outskirts of town, it's going to cause too much green. That's simply not true. These premises have to be broken, and then working and poor Californians will start rejecting this progressive fraud.
Ed, we are out of time, up against a hard break here, and I appreciate your work as well as being on our show today and your observations. And I know you have another commitment to get to, so thank you, and stay tuned for the second half of Unite IE Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Ed Hoffman with Summit Funding and host of The Main Event, heard weekends right here on AM 590 The Answer. For those of you that are 62 or older and haven't taken the time to inquire into a reverse mortgage, here are some great reasons to consider one. One, you don't have to make monthly mortgage payments unless you want to. Two, a reverse mortgage can supplement your retirement income and allow your retirement savings to last longer, which will save you money on taxes or possibly allow you to delay taking Social Security benefits, which will increase your benefit when you do. 3, when you finally pass on, your kids inherit the home and the equity in it, along with the money that has accumulated in your bank accounts from not having to make monthly mortgage payments. 4, no prepayment penalty if you decide to sell the home or refinance out of it. And the biggest reason, it's your equity. Use it when you want it. Interest rates are low, which means more money available, so if you've inquired before and it didn't work, it may work today. Calling to find out more details is free, so call me at 855-640-2020. That's 855-640-2020, or go to edhoffman.net and click on the Summit Funding logo.